नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। Reading from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 8, text number 33. Yad asti bhir nirmita vamsha vamsha stunam tvacha romana khaipinadham क्षरन्नवद्वारमगारमेतद् विण्मूत्रपूर्णं मधुवैदिकान्या यदस्तिभिर्निर्मितवंशवंश स्थूणं त्वचारोमनखैपिनद्धम् क्षरन्नवद्वारमगारमेतद् वेणुत्रपूर्णं मधुपैतिकान्या यदस्तिभिर्निर्मितवंशवंश स्थूलं त्वचारोमनखैपिनद्धम् शरन्नवद्वारमगारमेतद् वेणुत्रपूर्णं मधुपैतिकान्या। Madhajis, yat which astibhi with bones nirmita constructed vamsha the spine vamsha the ribs sthunam the bones in the hands and legs tvacha by skin Romanakhai, by hair and nails, Pinadham, covered, Sharat, oozing, Nava, nine, Dwaram, doors, Agaram, house, Etat, this, Vit, stool, Mutra, urine, Purnam, full of, Mat, besides me, Upaiti, devotes oneself to. Ka, what woman? Anya, other. Translation and purport. This material world is like a house in which I, the soul, am living. The bones forming my spine, ribs, arms and legs are like the beams, cross beams and pillars of the house. And the whole structure, which is full of stool and urine, is covered by skin, hair and nails. The nine doors leading into this body are constantly secreting foul substances. Besides one, what woman could be so foolish as to devote herself to this material body, thinking that she might find pleasure and love in this contraption? Purport. The nine doors leading into and out of the body are the two eyes, the two nostrils, the mouth, the two ears, the genital and the anus. Vamsha or spine also means bamboo. And indeed the skeleton appears to resemble a bamboo construction. Just as bamboo can be immediately burnt to ashes or chopped into pieces, similarly the material body, which is constantly deteriorating, may at any moment be crushed into powder, cut into pieces, drowned or burned, suffocated and so on. Eventually the body must disintegrate, and therefore there is certainly no one as unfortunate as one who has dedicated himself heart and soul to this flimsy body which is filled with unpleasant elements. Om Adhyanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshirun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Garaha Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Hri Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhirabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This material body is like a house in which I, the soul, am living. The bones forming my spine, ribs, arms and legs are like the beams, cross beams and pillars of the house. And the whole structure, which is full of stool and urine, is covered by skin, hair and nails. The nine doors leading into this body are constantly excreting foul substances. Besides me, what woman could be so foolish as to devote herself to this material body, thinking that this she might find pleasure and love in this contraption? Hare Krishna. So we are on the 11th canto, the story of Pingala, the prostitute. These words are spoken by her. The Avadhut Brahmin has learned from this prostitute. We can see that how this Avadhut Brahmin, moving around so many places, is taking lessons from so many natural elements like the earth, the water, the sky, the wind, the moon, sun. So what do we learn from this? He's having so many gurus. So does that mean that we also should be accepting so many gurus? Like you see that there are certain kinds of people who will move around from satsang to satsang. Wherever there is satsang, they will be there. Of course, there are one kind of people who never go for any satsang or never go for any spiritual programs. But on the other hand, there are some people who will go to every satsang. And irrespective, without any discrimination, whether it is even an impersonalist speaking, or if they are devotee speaking, or if they are some kind of philanthropist who's presenting their talk in a spiritual manner, you know, a spiritual format. So there are people who, without discrimination, sit for all kinds of satsangs. They accept everyone as their gurus. And the irony is that they have not one guru. They have not surrendered even to a single guru, wholeheartedly. So that should not be the case. So the acharyas explain that we may have many gurus. We may have many shiksha gurus. We can take lessons from so many people in this world. But we should certainly have one diksha guru. That guru who gives you the mantra, that guru who gives you inspiration, who gives you instruction, that guru to whom you surrender your life and make your guru's mission as your mission. So, diksha guru is one, and you may have different shiksha gurus. That is the philosophy. We can understand that how it takes humility to learn. If we are humble, we can learn. And even though this avadhut, he's an avadhut, he's a Brahmin, but he's still learning. Everywhere he's going, he's learning. Therefore, Krishna says in the 13th chapter that as long as we are humble, we can continue to learn. And the moment we become proud, our learning stops. Amanitvam adambhitvam. Amani, if we are humble, then that is the process, how you can get jnana and how we can jnayam. The goal of jnana. So therefore, we all, all of our sadhanas, in fact everyone in this world should always, as they say, should move around, you know, with the elbow around their necks in one sense. Always consider ourselves meek and humble so that we can always keep learning. Life can teach us lessons. Everywhere there are lessons. Everyone can teach us lessons. We should not hesitate to take instructions from people. It's not that if we become senior, then we have to just give instructions. There is no shame in taking instructions from people. Here we can see the Avadhut Brahman is taking instructions, is taking lessons from so many wonderful elements and people, including the prostitute. The lessons now he's learning is from a prostitute. So it takes great humility. That's why it is said, Vidya dadati vinayam, vinaya yati patratam, patratvad dhanam apnoti dhanad dharmam tathas sukham. Very famous verse. Vidya dadati vinayam. The symptom of a learned person that he is humble. Vidya dadati vinayam. And then when a person attains humility, then he develops qualification, patratam, like a vessel, patra. And then with that patra, you can collect items. You can collect more knowledge. patratvad dhanam apnoti. We become qualified and then you can earn money, you can do so many things in life, you can accomplish yourself in this world. Dhanad dharmam tatha sukham. And then when you earn money, you can engage it in spiritual, religious activities and you can be happy. So therefore a very important lesson here that Avadhut Brahman is teaching us is humility. Learning from so many places. And Prabhupada also would do the same thing. We remember that pastime that Prabhupada was in a very bad and angry mood and he was chastising many of his disciples. And just at that time one very new devotee, he came to Srila Prabhupada and he says, just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So he was taking the dialogue of Prabhupada and telling him only. And what can be more humiliating for a preacher if he has a false pride? When somebody repeats your statement to you, especially today, what happens is that people take your points, put it on WhatsApp and it gets circulated and people hear it and they say, Hare Prabhuji, kya point suna? And then they tell you only what you have spoken in your class. And they are explaining to you in detail, something like that, you know. And then you are tempted to say that, Arey yaar, ye maine hi bola hai. Maine hi bola tha aapko, bhul gaye kya? But, you know, see, if a person is having that ego, probably he will say that. But Prabhupada had no ego in accepting that, yes, I am a little disturbed. Okay, let me just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So then he took the mala in his hand. He didn't hesitate. He did not think that, hey, who are you to tell me? He never got angry. He saw a good instruction coming, a good lesson being learned, so he took it. So this is the quality of acharyas, that all of them have this. We see in Jesus Christ, in the Bible we see that before he left, before he was crucified, he arranged for a meeting of all his apostles, of all his disciples, and he washed their feet. He personally washed their feet and they were so embarrassed and they asked Jesus, why are you doing this? So he told that I want to set an example for all of you that after I am gone, how much you should be humbly serving each other. Because if there is no humility, then there is nothing else. No other qualities can manifest in a devotee. And therefore, just like a necklace has so many beads strung on a thread, so humility is like that thread which keeps all the good qualities of a devotee. If there's no humility, there's nothing. That's why that's the beginning of all qualities. Amanitvam. So here, the Avadhut Brahman is learning even from a prostitute. So, it's quite amazing to see that how this prostitute had attained Krishna consciousness. Now generally, amongst all professions, the profession of a prostitute is the most abominable. At least in India it's considered. Nowadays, probably in the West or European countries, maybe they have a different opinion of it. I'm not sure. But at least in the Indian Vedic culture, it is considered as most abominable. It is quite surprising that how this lady Pingala, being a prostitute, has attained detachment from the body. She's come to this realization that this material body is abominable and I am the spirit soul separate from this body, and to serve Sri Krishna, to serve the Supreme Lord is the goal of my life. That is pretty amazing. That's pretty surprising. And we all want to know how this is possible. One thing we can all understand from this episode. Now, Pingala was not some sadhaka. She was not chanting Hare Krishna. We never hear of this Pingala doing regular sadhana, chanting Hare Krishna, attending Mangal Arati, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, discussing Bhagavad Gita, reading the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which all of us read so many times. So much of jnana is there inside that. But she has somehow or another come to this conclusion. What is it that she has done that she has attained this jnana and bhakti? It's quite amazing. You know, many times taking lessons, we are more inspired when we see someone who's most fallen get mercy and go up. In me personally, in my own spiritual life, in my own personal life, I took inspiration when I saw that in ISKCON, people from all over the world, America, Russia, and all these people are taking up the Krishna consciousness. That gave me more happiness. I felt that if these people can do it, you know, I'm so fallen, you know, certainly I can also do it. If they, coming from a different culture, I remember that in my home once there was parents were some sick or something. My auntie was sick or something like that. I told her that she's also working and she's doing so many things. So why not just keep a servant and so they'll cook for you. You're working, then you come back and you cook and do all these things. So why didn't you keep a cook? They can cook for you. So she said, no. If I keep a cook, you know, it's so difficult to adjust to the different taste because we, you know, cook in a particular way. You keep a cook, then they make it in a different way. It's very difficult to adjust with the taste. So therefore, I rather come late and cook. It's extra trouble, but it's worth it. At least we can eat and be satisfied. And I was thinking in my mind, just see, we Indians, we are so attached to a particular flavor of food. We eat chapati, we eat dal, we eat sabji. You know, we like to eat the food that we have been eating since our childhood. Now, consider the situation of the people who are coming to Krishna consciousness from the Western culture. The people who are used to eating bread, you know, and all these different varieties of foods, all of a sudden now they are introduced to a different kind of cuisine. You know, chapati and dal and sabji and all these kind of things and different spicings. And how not only have they adjusted and accommodated themselves to eat all these different kinds of alien foodstuffs in one sense, and adopting a completely different lifestyle. It's so inspiring, so inspiring. So therefore this Pingala's episode, one who's so low in the social order, is risen all of a sudden to becoming the greatest devotee. One who has realized, self-realized, caught in the mercy. How? What is the secret? One thing we can understand is that it certainly teaches again humility. Sometimes, you know, we develop a pride of our piety, of a practice, attending Mangalarti, chanting on a regular basis, sometimes chanting extra rounds during Ekadashi, sometimes doing 108 rounds, 100 and I don't know how many rounds sometimes people do, and we may all become a little proud, which is very bad actually, in one sense. Because they say in English, you know, there's a saying that to be sinful is certainly bad. To be sinful is certainly bad, but pride of piety is still worse. Oh, अरे मैंने कभी मंगल आरती मिस नहीं किया. Somebody was coming and saying to some speaker that Prabhuji, मैंने 1,500 से भी ज्यादा मैंने सत्संग अटेंड किए हैं. Well, you are still here? How come? How come you are not liberated? Why you are not gone back home, back to Godhead? Why you are still lingering amongst us? Something is really wrong. You need to attend many more, it seems. You have not gotten the mercy. After chanting so much of sadhana, so much of hearing, still very little impact. Here we see that Pingala has attained the highest position. So what is it? So we can learn that irrespective of your social position, if you are pious or if you are sinful, it doesn't really matter, because bhakti is completely independent. Bhakti is completely independent. She can descend onto anyone. Most sinful of the sinful persons can be blessed to rise to the highest level. Now, the Shastra has explained that why Pingala got this mercy, how, what she did right, it was because of the Avadhut Brahmin, who according to Acharya say that he was Dattatre. Is it not? So he was Dattatre and he happened to take rest. This prostitute was waiting for a customer. And she was taking great pleasure in the profession. And she was earning money out of it. So one day she was waiting, and no customer came, and she became frustrated. And then in that frustration, then this Avadhoot Brahmin comes to the house. And she changes her attitude and she sees, okay, a sadhu has come, okay, and she makes all the preparations for him to stay in the courtyard. And after serving this sadhu, all of a sudden she gets this realization. She was blessed by this Avadhoot Brahmin. Therefore, Shastra also says, Shushroho Shraddhanasya Samshayatma Vasudeva Katha Ruchi Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirthane Shevanath. That when you serve great souls, then you develop the taste for devotional service. Vasudeva Katha Ruchi Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirtha Nishevanath. So that is the secret behind Pingalas attaining Krishna consciousness. So here, as it is explained, the material body is like a house in which I, the soul, am living. So this is Gyan here. Here there is a little, the body is condemned to some extent. There are similar verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam, like Rukmini also says, Twaksmashru Roma Nakha Kesha Pinaddha Mantar Mams Asti Krimivit Kapha Pitta Vatam Jeeva Chhavam Bhajati Kanta Matir Vimuda Yate Padab Jamakarandam Ajigrati Stri. So she is saying, Twak, skin, smashru, hair, hair follicles, pinaddam, antar. So this is all the covering of this. Mamsa, flesh, asti, bones, mamsa, asti, rakta, blood, kapha pitta vatam, jiva chavam. This is like a dead body in one sense. Bhajati kanta matir vimuda. And women who are worshipping the form of men, who are materially embodied, they are really stupid. Why should any woman accept anyone besides Sri Krishna as her husband? Rukmini is writing in her letter, Rukmini Sandesh, to Sri Krishna. They are foolish women. And she is making a comparison. Sri Krishna, Katva Mukunda Mahati Kulashila Rupa Vidya Vayo Dravina Damabhir Atmatulyam Dhira Pati Kulavati Navrinita Kanya Kale Narsimha Naraloka Manobhiramam. No one can compare with your greatness. Katva Mukunda Mahati Kula Shila Rupa Vidya Vayo Dravina Damabhir Atmatulyam. No one can compare with you. So she's comparing the mortal beings of this world with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So she said that I am willing to give up many, many bodies if I have to take. If I do not attain you in this life, so I can take many, many bodies. I can die and reincarnate, but I will still always consider you as my husband. So such heavy statements are there. So this body in one sense is abominable. Puranas explain that every day the living entities have to go into the toilet, washroom, and he excretes stool and urine. It's so abominable. But still when he comes out, he takes bath, puts scent, and then he's thinking he's so great. He's so great. Oh, this body is so beautiful. You know, there's a story of this dog who was very mischievous. And he was to bark and bite so many people. So the owner of the dog, he wanted to punish the dog. So he tied a block of heavy metal around its neck. So the dog couldn't move, so he was just sitting in one place for a long time. So the neighboring dogs, they came around that place and they started barking at this dog, saying that, just see, finally you were punished. You are acting smart and you were punished. So this dog is saying, it's not punishment, this is a medal that my owner has given me. Can't you see this huge thing here? It's a medal, it's a reward. So many times in this world, what we consider as good is actually bad from the spiritual perspective. Now it is bad if you look at this material body from the perspective of enjoyment. But it is good if you consider it as a vehicle for engaging in Krishna's service, in devotional service. If you put it to good use, it's neither good or bad. Even though the scriptures do contain statements that criticizing this material body. Like here, it is this Pingala, the prostitute, is criticizing the body of a male. How a male's body is like that. But you see Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya is also taking issues with the body of a female. He's saying, you know, Nari sthanabhara nabhi desham drishtva maga mohavesham etan mamsa visadi vikaram manasi vichintayan varam varam. So he's saying that Nari sthanabhara nabhi desham, that when you look at the breasts of a woman, don't become excited. Don't become sensual. Don't get ridiculous thoughts. Why? Etad mamsa vasadi vikaram. It is nothing but a combination of blood and fat. That's all. Manasi vichintayan varam varam. Always you contemplate this fact. This material body is abominable. So the scriptures many times criticize this material body. If you see in the Bhagavad Gita, there is a different perspective. Krishna is telling Arjun, Mahabhutani Ahankaru. He is describing this. What is this body? What is the difference between the body and the soul? So Krishna says, Mahabhutani Ahankaro Buddhir Avyakta Mevacha Indriyani Dashaikam Cha Pancha Chendriya Gocharaha Ichhadesha Sukham Dukham Sangata Chetanadriti Etat Kshetram Samasena Savikaram Udharitam. So Krishna is telling Arjun that this body, what is this body? He's saying this is made up of the 24 elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence and false ego. The 8 elements. Besides this, there are 5 working senses. Then there are 5 knowledge acquiring senses. Then there are the 5 sense objects. Then there is avyakta. So all together, there are 24 elements. This is the material body. Besides this, idam shariram kaunteya kshetram iti abhidhiyate etad yo vetti tam prahur kshetragyam iti tadvidaha. So Krishna is differentiating between the soul and the body, that the real person is not this body. The person is who's living in this body. The body is like a house. Here it is said the body is like a home. You live in a home. If due to some reason the home is destroyed, the house is destroyed, you move into another home. So similarly, when the body is destroyed, the soul moves into another body. So here, there is a little neutral description of the body. So the body is neither good or bad. It depends on what use you put your body to. So the scripture says the body is meant for self-realization. The body is meant to engage in tapa, in austerities, for purification. Tapo divyam putrakayena sattam shuddhi tatasmad brahma saukhyam tvanantam. So many miseries in life. Rishabhdev is telling his sons, if you want to mitigate the miseries of life, you should become pure. Get rid of all these selfishness, the greed, the ambitions, material ambitions that we have. And then you will be happy, you will be peaceful. Then when you are peaceful, you can think of higher subject matters. You can think of Krishna consciousness. So therefore, this is a very important aspect of using our body. Therefore, in this chapter, in the next chapter, the Avadhut Brahman accepts the body also like a guru. The body also teaches us many things. Like if you eat too much, then you have indigestion. Then you come to your senses. I should not eat too much. I should control my tongue. Your tongue is saying, I want food. But your stomach is saying, that's enough. I can't digest it. So then you come to a realization that I should control my eating. Is it not? So the body is also teaching us important lessons. If you are aware, then we can take those lessons. So it teaches us sense control, it teaches us discipline. The body is trying to teach us discipline. So therefore, if you see from a neutral perspective, then the body is good in that sense. If you use it in God's service, it's meant for a particular purpose. It's not meant for simply sense gratification, simply enjoyment. Enjoyment is there, but it goes parallel to purification. Just like a train runs on two tracks. So also there is material life, there is some enjoyment in this body, but at the same time there is purification also, there is spiritual practices also. So that has to be there. So this lady, this prostitute, has attained this highest stage of self-realization. She has understood that I am the soul. Now there is a difference in information and knowledge. We are not talking about information. Oh, we tell you that you are the body, or you are not this body, you are the soul, and you know, you got the knowledge. It's not, that's not knowledge, that's just information. Knowledge is different from information. Like for example, say for example, jackfruit. Now the summer season, many people have eaten jackfruit, yeah? Everybody has eaten a jackfruit. Now imagine that somebody who has never eaten a jackfruit. Is there anyone here who has never eaten a jackfruit? Never eaten a jackfruit. Okay, fine. Alright. So now people who have eaten a jackfruit, if they have to explain to a person who has never eaten a jackfruit, sweet, ripened jackfruit, how will you explain it? It is sweet, so you'll say it is sweet. When you're cutting the jackfruit, you get those thread-like substances, like hair. Very strange fruit, yeah? When you cut it, it's like hairy kind of thing. So, how will you describe it? Eating a jackfruit, it's like, probably you may say, it is like drinking sugarcane juice through the beard of an Islamic priest. Just a wild, vivid description. You may say, like a mulle ki daadi se ganne ka ras peene ke barabar. Not, no offense to somebody, just it is correct. If you describe it like that, it is not wrong. Is it not? It's sweet. It's like hairy substances are there. But people who have eaten the jackfruit can understand that the description doesn't really match with the actual experience of eating the jackfruit. Is it not? How can you describe at the taste? It's very difficult. So therefore, when you eat the fruit, you know what it is. You have that knowledge from within. Nobody has to tell you this is the taste. So therefore, we are not talking about the information, the description of that we are the soul. We are talking about the actual experience. When you start experiencing that I am the soul and you live according to that. Therefore it is said that it is not important to know many things. It's not important to know many things, but it is very, very important to apply what you know. We are describing now, we have passed the 10th canto, very high lofty subject matters. The question is, have we even realized this basic concept that we are the spirit soul? We are eternal. We are part and parcel of the Supreme. We are the servant. We are not the masters. Have we realized that? So therefore, Krishna says in the Gita, that the most important thing in this world is knowledge, jnana, not information. It is the age of information, 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 but no transformation, unfortunately. So we're not talking about information, we're talking about that jnana, the knowledge. So therefore, Krishna says in the 4th chapter, Nahi jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidyate tat swayam yoga samsiddhah kalena atmani vindati. There is nothing more pure in this world, there is nothing more valuable in this world than knowledge. That realization that I am the spirit soul. I am the servant of God. I am eternal. When you attain that stage, you become fearless. You become happy. And again in the Niti Shastra it is said, Sarva dravyeshu vidyaiva dravyam ahur anuttamam aharhatvad anarghatvad akshayatvad cha sarvada.
Of all the valuable things, sarva dravyeshu vidyaiva, of all valuable things, sarva dravyeshu vidyaiva, dravyam ahur anuttamam. Vidya is the topmost. Why? Because aharhatvad, it is the most, nobody can take it away from you. That knowledge can never be taken away from you. Is it not? That's one of the qualities of realization. We are not talking about material information. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is everything. That's what sets a judge, a high court judge or a supreme court judge sitting. He comes into the court. He gives some judgment. He sits for half an hour and he goes. And at the end of the month, he gets one lakh rupees as a salary. And in the same court, the peon is sitting there stamping the documents. He's working for 8 hours in a day and he gets a meager 10,000, 15,000 rupees as a salary. What is the difference? The difference is knowledge. Now, we are not even talking about spiritual knowledge. We are talking about material knowledge. Everybody knows that knowledge is power. Those who have knowledge control the others. Knowledge can make crorepati to a roadpati. Knowledge can make a roadpati into crorepati. Imagine a person who is like a millionaire. You are a millionaire. You got $1 billion in your bank. Something happens, you forget. Where is your bank account? You forget your password. You are roadpati. You are on the street. Like one Indian man, Malayali, from Kerala, he went to Dubai. They have this raffle system, it seems, some lottery system there. So he was a poor man, he went to work there and he took a lottery ticket, Dubai, and he won 21 crores. Roadpati, crorepati. From a pauper, from the streets, he went to a palace. Information, you see. Like in Indian movies, sometimes you see that, you know, theme. Hero and heroine is going in a car. And all of a sudden, you know, they're singing the song and everything is going on very nicely. All of a sudden, the car meets with an accident and the hero is hit on his head. And he wakes up, he opens his eyes in the hospital and everybody is looking at him. And doctor is saying, "Uski yaddash chali gayi hai." He does not remember his name. He does not remember his family members. He does not remember how much money he has in the bank. So what he is now? Roadpati. Forgotten. And then the doctor says, "Usko leke jao, wahan wahan us jagah pe leke jao, jahan par wo ghuma karta tha. Wahan wahan leke jao, jahan par wo apne doston se mila karta tha. Wo gaane sunao jo wo suna karta tha." Aha. And then the heroine does the same, takes him to those same places, sings those same songs which he used to hear, and finally one day, he's remembering, a little bit he is remembering, but one day the heroine is taking him in a car and again there is an accident, again he gets a hit on his head and he gets all his memory back. Something like that. These themes are there in Indian movies. Yeah. So you see, knowledge is power. This information, I'm just talking about information, but it's not even knowledge. So how much more important is knowledge? And therefore it is said, gyan is most important. Why? Because it can award you liberation from the cycle of birth and death. And it can never be separated from you. If there is an engineer, if there is a doctor, and if he dies in his next life, he is not born with his certificate. He doesn't have that knowledge. He has to start all over again. He has to again go to college, he has to go to school, and all those things starts all over again. Material knowledge is lost in due course of time. But spiritual knowledge, that realization, that detachment, will always be there with that person. It's never separated. So therefore, ahar hatvad, it can never be separated from you. We see in Mahabharata, the Pandavas, they were great, wealthy people, the great kings, but they were cheated on a gambling match and they lost everything. So therefore Krishna is telling Arjun, nahi jnane na sadrisham, there is nothing more valuable than knowledge, because once you get this, there is no fear. Get knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Aharhatvad, anarghatvad, akshayatvad cha sarvada. And this knowledge is never depleted. It's not like money that you spend and it gets reduced. Knowledge is something which you give, it increases. If you distribute knowledge, you develop a better understanding of the subject matter. Akshay, that's what it is said. That's why it is said, Annadanam Param Danam. The greatest charity work that you can do in this world is distributing food. Vedic literature. Annadanam Param Danam. Par Vidya Danam Athah Param. But to educate somebody, to give spiritual knowledge to somebody, is the highest welfare work, the greatest charity. Why? Vidya Yavancha Vidya. Jivan Yavancha Vidyaya. Because if you have given knowledge to somebody, if you have taught him a profession, then he can earn on his own, and then you have fed him throughout his life. You feed somebody once, okay, his stomach is full, but how long? For 1 day, 2 days, he's satisfied. But if you give somebody knowledge, then he's satisfied for his whole life. And if you give him spiritual knowledge, he's satisfied for eternity. So therefore, that charity is the greatest. Yavan, Jivan, Yavan Chavidya. Therefore, the greatest welfare work is to distribute knowledge. So that knowledge we want. And that we and how can we get that when we serve, when we engage in the service of the Lord? Service is the beginning when we serve. So anargatvat, akshayatvat, chasarvada. So here we can see that the Avadhut Brahmin has graced this prostitute, and she has come to this realization. So also, here it is explained that the material body is like a house in which the soul is living. The bones forming my spine, ribs, arms and legs are like the beams, cross beams and pillars of the house, and the whole structure, which is full of stool and urine, is covered by skin, hair and nails. The 9 doors leading into this body are constantly excreting foul substances. Besides me, what woman could be so foolish as to devote herself to this material body, thinking that she might find pleasure and love in this contraption? So the body is very sacred, as it is explained that the body should be used in God's service, should be used for self-realization, should be used for seva. Tat swayam yoga samsiddha. When Krishna speaks about nishkam karma yoga, when Krishna speaks about detachment, it is what he is talking about. He is speaking about seva. When you serve without any ambition, when you serve without an expectation of recognition, that is real service. Then that awards you that knowledge. Maharaj writes in his book, The Journey Home, that how when he was in Delhi, when he crossed the border and he came to Delhi, at that time there was this British man who organized a seminar of yogis, and around 800 yogis, mystics, had come there. It was a great assembly, learned people. So the seminars went on, many people were giving lectures and everything. Finally, on the last day, due to paucity of time, the organizer, Chris Hills, he decided to terminate the program at 7 o'clock. Previously it was 8 o'clock, he decided to terminate it 1 hour in advance. So some of the yogis did not get chance to speak. So in front of all the assembled audiences, the yogis started fighting with each other. So many people had come to see, get inspiration from these yogis. The yogis, the people who were supposed to establish peace in the society. But those yogis now were fighting with each other for the mic. They wanted to speak. As they say, a mic kalal. Mic kalal. So that was the problem. So it was a great embarrassment for everybody. Everybody were let down, thinking that these people have not controlled their senses. So therefore, the real knowledge lies in detachment. When we serve with detachment, without the expectation of trying to control anybody or trying to dominate anybody, where there is love, there cannot be ego. And when that happens, then one can get this knowledge. As Pingala, when she served in a very loving way to this sage, then she got this knowledge. So that is the whole idea. If we chant with that mood of humility, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare, then naturally that knowledge, that spiritual knowledge will manifest within our hearts. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.